Hello, everyone, and welcome to Masters of Digital Transformation, a podcast from AIM10X dedicated to uncovering the stories behind the world's leading change agents and the most valuable learnings from our community of global innovators. I'm your host, Caleb Masters, and as always, we're here to provide you with the actionable insights from today's greatest thought leaders to guide and accelerate your journeys. AIM10X is a knowledge and networking hub for leaders passionate about digitally transforming enterprises for better decision-making and a better planet. You can learn more by heading to aim10x.09solutions.com. In today's episode, we'll be joined by Gregory Pulser, the former EVP and CSCO of supply chain at Estee Lauder. We'll start by talking about the story behind Greg's exciting journey of rising to the top as the CSCO of supply chain at Estee Lauder, and then we'll also cover his perspective on why it's important to have employee buy-in and for employees to clearly understand the WIFM, or also known as what's in it for me, to have a successful digital transformation. And then to close out the conversation, we'll talk with Greg about how he gauged employee sentiment about the benefits of new technology and processes related to digital transformation. Let's get to know Greg a little better. Gregory Pulser is a global consumer products executive and board director with more than 30 years of experience transforming end-to-end business and driving value across multiple companies like Estee Lauder and Unilever. Always leading on the front lines of complex change, he is a strategic partner to C-suite teams and boards in creating and translating visions that scale, grow, and adapt enterprises to compete around the world. As Executive Vice President and Chief Global Supply Chain Officer at Estee Lauder, he played a crucial role in evolving the company and its portfolio of brands into a global enterprise and leader in innovation, quality, safety, and sustainability. He also modernized the end-to-end supply chain to fuel and support rapid growth. Greg also chaired Estee Lauder Company's Crisis Leadership Committee. Greg, welcome to Masters of Digital Transformation. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for that introduction, Caleb. I really appreciate it.
Of course. I mean, you have such an illustrious career, and I just appreciate that you're taking the time to sit down and talk with us a little bit about something that I understand you're quite passionate about, which is change management initiatives. Change management, of course, being a really important part of the digital transformations that we're looking at today. But before we get into the topic of change management, you have had an incredible career, and I want to step back and hear a little bit more about your origin story and hear how you became a transformation leader. Again, you've worked with multiple brands across many functions throughout your career. Can you share a little bit about how you came to be the EVP and Chief Supply Chain Officer at Estee Lauder?
Sure, Caleb. Happy to share a bit of background for sure. So before my 13 years with Estee Lauder Companies, I spent 20 years with Unilever, as you mentioned, and so grateful. I had local jobs, regional jobs, global jobs. And at that time, Unilever was really evolving from many, many different organizations, many different operating companies, to the single Unilever that you know now. So in the 20 years I was there, about 15 of those were in the supply chain. The last one I spent time integrating the North and Latin America supply chains while leading the North America supply chain. I was also accountable for procurement globally, the Walmart supply chain globally, and was a proud member of the Americas customer team. But while I was also at Unilever, I had the great opportunity to also be a brand general manager for a while. If anybody's ever used the Q-tips cotton swab, thank you very much. And I had a small portfolio of brands, which we called non-aligned brands. And you talk about something that needs change management, being non-aligned doesn't sound like you're at all in the strategy. So actually thinking about that more as cash generators versus non-aligned was a significant improvement, I think, in how we talked about it. When I joined Lauder, which is now about almost 15 years ago, as you already said, I joined as the Chief Supply Chain Officer and chaired and actually started the crisis leadership team there. And that was a great company journey. When I joined, we were about a $7 billion business. When I left, we were about 17. We had more or less, 40% of our business outside of North America when I started. When I left, we were about 80%. So we really created a true global business, and it actually paid back quite tremendously from a value creation standpoint, from about a $7 billion market cap to about 130 when I left. And for me, this was really a major change from kind of the mass world to class world, a true lesson in change management. While I brought quite a bit to the party, I had to take a step back and also learn a lot about what it meant to be in the prestige business, the changing business models, and how to adopt and adapt my style. For those who don't know, Estee Lauder is a portfolio company. We have about 30 brands or so, and each brand needed to be supported individually while trying to maximize the whole for the company. So quite a bit of transformational leadership was needed through that journey.
I mean, again, the results speak for themselves. I mean, just in terms of increasing market cap, establishing new teams, new initiatives. I mean, it sounds like you've really done it all, I would say, or done many, many, many exciting things. I would love for you to elaborate here. I mean, what would you say is the biggest challenge that you've had in your career so far?
I think, Caleb, the biggest challenges that I think we all kind of recently faced, which was the COVID challenge. And I say that as a supply chain leader and as the crisis lead for Estee Lauder companies. And the reality of that, while we have a lot of transformation and change in our lives, very, very much that was life and death, particularly in the beginning. So, you know, perspective is really important. And leading through that unknown, there was no playbook. There was no North Star. So you really had to take a step back and ensure that you were basing it on the company principles, what the core of the values. And at Estee Lauder companies, I'm proud of, it's always a people first, but the rest is really needed. A viable business is needed for our people. So ensuring that we had the right approach, or an approach that we could set the rules using our global values and principles, yet respecting the local needs that were developing as it was the first global pandemic I've been through, and I think all of us have been through just about, and hopefully the last, by the way. And candidly, it challenged my leadership style a bit. I've been known throughout my career as a very inclusive leader, and then decide. To a big extent, particularly in early COVID, it was very decisive, then include. One of the things I learned was, because I had developed quite a bit of trust throughout my time at the company, that I had the credibility to be decisive and to use my lead team, the lead team, which was amazing, along with everybody as part of this, to accept that push and include versus include and then push. So a little bit of difference in approach to myself and to how we could lead in this really difficult time.
You're talking about recent challenges being the COVID-19 pandemic. I want to take things in a different direction. I mean, what would you say is your proudest career achievement related to change management and digital transformation over your years?
I'm going to do a couple of these, if you don't mind. I think one of them was the overall approach that we had actually at Estee Lauder Company. So as kind of as a progress as a business, was that we looked at it in a very integrated way. We thought about throwing things out that were no longer needed and transforming through a digital lens. As a supply chain leader, I was super excited about the ideas of getting signals of demand well before they were happening, demand sensing. That integrated approach, I think, was really important. This idea of digitizing each individual piece, but then connecting it, I think was a really important piece, because you can go down many routes, and then when you add them up, it doesn't near maximize the output. And I think as we were doing this bit of digitization and understanding the idea of going from, we had amazing experts and knowledge in individual heads, to the idea of shared knowledge and exploration, I think was a very big thing that I'm super proud of. I think that the second thing that I'm most proud of is, and regarding change and then digitalization, if you will, more, was our story on safety. As a company, we did not have the best safety record in the early years. I'm proud to say that that over about a decade timeframe, we actually became the best safety company from a metric standpoint in the consumer space. And that was really about empowering our people to own it. That was really about being intrusive as a leader and giving a challenge, but also allowing and hoping that people would be engaged. And people do really become engaged in this. And then candidly, we could digitize and we could share with platforms. We could share failures. We shared successes and we challenge each other. And so I think that's my kind of big change management was, and many of these things are not top down by itself. It's building the capability throughout the organization. And then I'll just do one proof of the digitalization story, which I thought was amazing. And again, this is combining my crisis and supply chain. If you remember, more than a decade ago now, we had Fukushima, which was the disaster in Japan. And I can remember from a logistics standpoint, we basically took weeks to understand where we stood. Where was our product? We exported finished products. Finding them, understanding where they were, understanding what the status was, allaying the fears of consumers that things were going to be contaminated, just took so much time, energy, and effort. Fast forward a few years, as we started to implement our transportation management, we had a blockage in the Suez Canal immediately. We knew where things were. People felt in control at every level of the organization. We were able to shape demand. We were able to change supply. We were able to redirect immediately. So we were spending a lot of money. And unfortunately, it took one accident, if you will, to show the value, but the value came immediately.
And those are two very critical points that you mentioned here between the ability to quickly digitize and share knowledge and also improving your safety record. I mean, I would also think, you know, these go hand in hand, as you put it. And innovations of this magnitude, they really are going to require the organizational cultures of the company, leaders like yourself, and even the individuals who are boots on the ground doing the work to change the way they're thinking and working on a large scale. Again, I think the digitization you mentioned there also helps with the scale, the knowledge sharing. I mean, at the core of any successful digital transformation or change management initiatives are people, the philosophies driving the change management, and the business imperative to remain competitive. From your perspective, Greg, what is the relationship between change management and adopting new technologies on a company-wide level? And I want to frame it specifically through that example that you just shared about building an infrastructure for knowledge sharing.
No doubt. The need for real change management, the deep need, is significant. And I think often we forget, and this is something I think is kind of the simple, and lots of people say it, but I think it is important that it's people, process, technology, and creating the reality that there is a need for this technology. And candidly, the change in technology now is also impacting the education needed by people and changing the process. So it used to be technology was always last, not so true anymore. But how do you ensure that you are making sure that you have the right people doing the right thing and engage in the process? These are not weapons, these are tools. And you use a tool in a way to enhance your capability. And I know that's being challenged a lot with AI at this moment. But again, even the most sophisticated, in the end, they're still backed by the capabilities of people to be able to pull it all together. The other thing that's important is change is needed at every level. So we often forget that the most senior people in the organization don't necessarily have bigger brains than the more junior people in the organization. They have different roles, but the need for change is generally throughout. At Estee Lauder Companies, for instance, for the last 8 years or so, we created a reverse mentoring program. And I remember as an executive committee member, if you will, we had people who were, more than half our age, younger than many of our children, actually mentoring us. It was amazing. And the first day we did this, which again, you have to dial back about 8 years ago, we spent the morning shopping with them and understanding this seamless flow of information, data, how they shop, how they look at things from brick and mortar to online and the integration of those. So that reverse mentoring program, I enjoyed it tremendously.
That's great. It just speaks to quality leadership again, that you're able to listen to, the input of people who are on your different teams providing feedback and ideas and suggestions. And as you said, giving you a little bit of space to share that feedback. I think that really is going to segue really well into what I want to talk about here today, which is we're talking about change management and the importance of getting employees on board with change. Because, when we're thinking about organizational changes, we're talking about not just 10 people, not just 15 leaders. You're talking about potentially hundreds, if not thousands of employees who have to get on board with these changes in order for it to be effective. It really brought to mind for me a quote from Peter Drucker that says that culture eats strategy for breakfast. To have a successful digital transformation at the scale I just mentioned, you really need innovation and embracing change. This isn't a task, a project, or to do. It really is a mindset and a part of the culture. So, Greg, I want to turn it back to you here. I mean, what role does culture play in adopting the innovative mindset that's required for successful digital transformations like the ones that you've led throughout your career?
So, Caleb, I agree with Peter Drucker that culture does eat strategy for breakfast, but one meal doesn't satiate a full day either. You need both. Because very candidly, without strategy, you could be doing a lot of things, but they might not all be heading the same direction. There's no question about it. Strategy without a decent culture and you go nowhere. Culture without a strategy, you might go everywhere. So I think it is really, really important. And particularly if you want to generate a culture that's curious, that's innovative, a culture that believes in destroying its own business model before others do it, I think that's really critical. But you still have to know where you're going and you still have to be able to make progress. You need to be able to reward risk, but you need that clarity of where you actually want to end up, at least in some way, shape or form.
I like that you put it. It's not just breakfast. It's breakfast and lunch. And it really is sort of a partnership culture paired with good strategy. Part of culture and strategy is aligning your employees under the vision of where you want the company to go. Why is it important for leaders like yourself to provide a vision and get all your employees on board to reach those long-term digital transformation goals?
Yeah, I think, you know, I said a little bit of this is that, you know, getting on board is knowing where they're going or they won't get there. But I also think it's really important that you have to track progress, right? You need to focus resources. Resources are not unlimited. You need to track the progress that you set out. You need to make it theirs. And I think that without it being theirs, the probability of success actually is quite low. And if they don't own it, it generally will fail or at least not be optimized. You also need transparency that things will change. And the reality that not everyone will adapt. And this is often a bit contentious because we want everybody to come along. But the reality is not everybody will adapt. Not everyone will want to adapt. And while you want to preserve and nurture the right elements from the past, you also have to, at a minimum, adopt the realities of tomorrow. So I think it's really important to recognize you're creating the new realities and opportunities of the future. And unfortunately, sometimes not everyone will come along. That doesn't make them bad. What's bad is holding people to something they don't want to do or don't believe they can do. So while you need to create the education, the communication, the ability, you also have to have the backbone to know when to say when, or your culture can be destroyed quite quickly along with the output.
Again, I think like you said, you have to make it theirs. It's not just the leader's initiative. It needs to become a part of their initiative, their goals. They need to be able to tie their growth opportunities with the growth of the company or the growth of this new program or change that you're implementing. One tactic for that is trying to identify the air quotes, you know, what's in it for me, or the WIFM, as a lot of people are probably familiar with. How have you approached identifying or creating that WIFM for employees when you're leading large scale change management initiatives? How do you make it theirs and get them bought in those early stages?
This is always complex. And the more global you are and the bigger your business, the harder it is to do this. I think a couple of things. One is talk to them and be real. Why does the company need this? And ask them to see what's in it for them. So not only tell them what's in it for them, but let them decide. Let that evolve a bit also. I think the other thing is show them you're listening. We get talked at a lot instead of talked with. And how do you show that you're being spoken with? Well, if I come back with the same spiel next time and I haven't altered the strategy as I've done listening tours, maybe I didn't listen. We used to use something that we called engage, enable, and empower. So engage people. Enable them to make the change and to lead and enable them through empowerment. And with empowerment becomes accountability. But that engagement doesn't mean it's a single engagement. You need to create a loop and you need to show that you have heard them. You can show them and say, I heard you, but we're still going this way. Or I heard you and we're augmenting our approach. And, you know, generally two heads are better than one. Thousands of heads are definitely better than one, or thousands of heads better than one leadership team. So I think showing that you're open and that they can be part of the solution and part of the identification, but then also make sure that they're accountable, period. for the final deliveries that you commit to. I think if you show them that you're willing to change, you show them that you're willing to listen, and you show them that you're accountable. I'm working with another company right now, and I was amazed that the CEO just had a town hall and said, "I messed this up. I should have done this before," to the entire company. Not many people have the nerve to do that. And I said, I thought it was one of the bravest change management things in front of the whole business, successful business. But for this person to say, I need these people to get on board with me, and I need to point at myself first. So I just thought that was a great example of true leadership.
It's a bold move to put yourself out there like that, but it really does foster that trust of, hey, this leader is in it with us, and they're willing to listen and to make it better and to make it right. Again, fostering that trust, which, as you outlined earlier, is really essential to successful change management. Another element, especially when you're trying to get buy-in from employees, is identifying some of those employees who maybe are a little more eager to get on board. We call them change makers, or you could say early adopters if it's with technology. As a leader, how do you go about identifying those early adopters or change makers and work with them in order to gain larger employee buy-in, for especially for new tech initiatives?
Your point of creating those change leaders, they become an extension of leadership for sure. And those boots on the ground are probably the most critical piece. A couple of specific things that I did with the teams in the past. One of them is in the digital space. We actually opened up digital budgets in our facilities that we actually said, go and explore. Bring them back so we can then share them, pick them, support them more or less. But we didn't put handcuffs on everybody with our specific way of going digital. We actually wanted the ideas. That was actually quite new, because particularly if you work in the supply chain, and particularly if you work in manufacturing distribution plants, you really have tight operating budgets. And to create some space in that, which we had to find, gave freedom for not only those leading in those facilities, but those leading the digital change, the things that were starting to happen. And they were seeing it more things than we were seeing. So that was one very easy, but very specific thing I think was important. We also gave rewards a bit for risk takers. And the idea of never letting a disaster go away without taking some value for it. During COVID, we actually found what we called hidden gems. People in our organization that we didn't know how good they were. They led. And many times, because everybody was so busy, they had the ability to lead. So they kind of threw the hierarchy out a bit and leaned in, and we supported them. That kind of reward and recognition was a really important piece to find some early adopters, some change leaders are in our organization that we knew that we were a bit blind to. I think the other thing about change leaders is recognizing that there's generally a pretty large amount of them. And it's just going out and trying to find them and utilizing your ongoing HR processes and be very clear. You know, these are the third or so that we know are on board, and these are the, you know, third of those who can really drive change. Recognize them. I think it's also important to recognize the third of the team in the beginning that might get in the way, and helping educate them. So, you know, through almost all of the change processes I've seen, a third are there, they're ready, they'll go to the wire with you. A third are on the fence, and a third are saying probably not. You know, grabbing that second third is really important, and then figuring out in that last third who's going to make the run with you and who's not also becomes quite important, because if you let that linger too long, it starts to impede the change and ruin credibility.
I want to focus specifically on that middle third, the second third, the ones who are open to change, but maybe they just don't have a clear idea of the vision. How have you approached working with the change makers to get those folks on board?
Bringing some of those people in the middle into the dialogue. So making them much more a part of the process. This idea of listening, you know, listen with two ears, talk with one mouth. A lot of times those people in the middle are the most practical people, and they really want to get on board. You just need to show a nugget. And then I think the last thing is proof. And this, I think, is important through any change program. Put runs on the board early. Show progress. I think if the longer you linger and aren't actually showing results, the more likely that middle third are not going to come on board. And you could forget the bottom third. That'll never happen. Engagement and engaging them, listening in a way that's really clear, and then putting runs on the board generally helps quite a bit. When you work in a business that has multiple locations, capabilities, et cetera, the more exchange you can create between them and moving people around the organization is also another very critical piece. For instance, in our supply chain, when I worked for Lauder, we moved one third of the high performers every year to another role. And the leadership held ourselves accountable to that KPI of movement of people. And that helps facilitate change. It also gives you amazing breadth and career growth for the individuals.
I think you hit on this earlier, but I just want to reiterate. It's not just middle management. It's not senior management. It's not just C-suite. You're talking about having people and these change makers at every level of leadership within the company, down to the individual contributor. Why would you say it's so important to make sure that you have those people that you can trust at every level?
It actually becomes pretty simple. The more senior you are, the less you actually see people every day or the whole team. The individual contributors and the more junior leadership, more junior team members, they're together every day. Their influence of them happens every day, every minute. They're where the rubber meets the road. The reality is that, you know, the more that you're having the dialogue, the change, you're challenging every day, every minute, versus kind of flying in and then flying out, if you will, as leaders often do, makes all the difference in the world. So that ability of change leaders to impact the organization, the culture, to be a feedback loop also is super critical, because it happens literally every minute of every day.
You know, beyond just training, which is an education, which obviously, as you've already outlined, is a very important part of it. Another thing I want to hit on here is you mentioned, you know, gauging success, monitoring success and progress. So to ensure employees can implement the necessary changes, these change makers need to help employees tackle any of these unforeseen issues regarding an implementation. Greg, why is it so important for leaders to keep their fingers on the pulse of employees' sentiment, especially when you're in the midst of a digital transformation or a major change management initiative?
That need for unfiltered feedback is really critical, because or you're wasting time and money. These kinds of changes are quite large and are planned to be quite transformational, but could be also very, very disruptive. Positive momentum goes quite fast, but so does negative. If you're not on top, and if the teams are not on top of the game, and you don't sense the negative vibe early or the positive vibe early, you're either missing the opportunity to potentially go faster and deeper, or you're missing the opportunity to stop and replant. Sometimes you need to put a gauge on whether the things are working or not working, because it's the wrong way or there's a lack of commitment. Both of those are really important to know. If it's wrong, back to change, you need to be able to say, it was wrong. We're going to go. If it's lack of commitment, you need to often double down on the capability. So, you know, it's okay to pivot if it's not working. Again, to admit that, you know what, that's fine. We said we were going to take some risk in this. And by the way, that's one of the hardest things to do. When you have a committed team and you're going down a road, it's really hard to say stop because you're so committed to it. So I found that stopping things are sometimes really important, but really hard because you're committed. They're as hard as driving things that you know are right and you're proving points, and you need to make sure that you're doubling down. And understanding those two are really important as you try to allocate the right resources and do the right things. Sometimes they are wrong. Sometimes they are right. So it's just important to recognize that and to make the right pivots when appropriate.
I love the innovative mindset that you've sort of outlined today from leaders within Estee Lauder, yourself, but also pulling in some other examples. How did you go about gauging and approach implementing employee feedback or any feedback you had on your processes, really, in your time modernizing the end-to-end supply chain at Estee Lauder?
It kind of goes back to some pretty basic things. So I can say that overall, as a company, we did culture surveys. Overall, because we were in a continuous change. In fact, we built a transformation office because we thought that transformation was a continuum, not a point in time. And I think that that was really important. So we put some fundamental capabilities in, including things as simple but as complex as a culture survey, and putting in the mindset of transformation. I think that was really important. The reality is there's nothing that substitutes pressing the flesh and getting out and talking with people. The fundamental things of skip level meetings and roundtables and many market discussions, not only with people who are accountable directly to you, but with the rest of your business colleagues. So you were supported. I said before, we would go out and we would discuss strategy and get the feedback and engage people. So they might see it in the next cycle that, wow, I was actually listened to. And we move people through capabilities building. So we would bring people in to help us do the strategy and capabilities as kind of part-time roles. And so there were lots of mechanisms to help facilitate and to kind of put graphite on the change that was needed. I already talked a little bit about identifying the hidden gems, the early adopters, as you called them, and using our high potential. So there's a lot of tools that are already generally in your businesses. So it doesn't need to be completely new set of tools. It's adopting the tools that you have. We did identify Change Champion Network, though, also very specifically by head, and would meet often with them. It's one of those things that kind of came and went too often. But so I think we probably could have put more stability in there. And as I said before, not only identifying the early adopters, but you do need to identify the blockers also, and clearly define and decide how much energy you want to put into changing the blockers, because many of them are very influential and many of them are very capable. So I think finding a way to either shore up that the blockers change, or you may need to make some difficult decisions in the organization. And it's not always easy, but sometimes it's something that's necessary. And by the way, often it's as good for the blockers to move on to something else that they would like than it is for them to change to something they don't like.
Being open to change, creating that loop, and really working with the employees and getting them on board with your vision is going to be essential. Gregory Pulser, thank you so much for joining us on Masters of Digital Transformation today to share so many of your exciting career insights and stories with us.
Thank you so much, Caleb, for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning into today's episode featuring Gregory Pulser, the former EVP and CSCO at Estee Lauder. If you enjoyed today's conversation and want to learn more from the world's leading change agents, you can join our community of global innovators by heading to aim10x.o9solutions.com and signing up today. Aim10x is a knowledge and networking hub for leaders passionate about digitally transforming enterprises for better decision-making and a better planet. And to keep up with more episodes of Masters of Digital Transformation, please make sure to leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcast app. You can also learn more about the activities and learning opportunities available through the Aim10x Innovators Network by following Aim10x on LinkedIn. Now, as we wrap up this conversation about change agents, change management, and leadership, I'm reminded of a quote from Abraham Maslow. In any given moment, we have two options: to step forward into growth or to step back into safety. Thanks so much for joining us, everyone. We'll catch you again in our next episode, where we'll sit down with Matt Gabriel, the Vice President of Supply Chain Global Consulting at Gympact, to discuss the key learnings his team has discovered with their clients related to supply chain digital transformations in 2023. You won't want to miss it.